This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us on this Sunday morning, bright and early. I'm Jason Laidler, here with the world-famous Ted Wallachin, and we're going to talk about some probate stuff, right? Ted, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very well as well, thank you.
Welcome to fall.
I love it. Everyone says that.
There's an autumnal feel in the air, is there not?
A what?
Autumnal fear.
Autumnal,
as in autumn.
Oh,
these aren't big words, Jason.
I thought that was two words. Autumnal. I'm like, what's autumnal? Okay.
Yeah.
And I love it. And you know, I gotta say, I think fall weddings. It's the best season to have a wedding, and I've been to a few fall weddings in my long life, and thoroughly enjoyed it because you don't stand there sweating in your suit.
It's great. That's true.
And it's so pretty.
It is. Although there's barely any colors on the leaves here. Maybe up where you live there is, but here not much really.
We got snow where I am. What are you talking about?
No, you don't.
No, we don't. Not yet. It's coming.
But they did have at Wasaga Beach last week. They had hail.
Yeah. But that's not
like 12 degrees.
That's not a function of the season, right? You can hail in the middle of summer, of course. Because it freezes like a mile up where it's like minus 30 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there was some damage to vehicles. Imagine coming out of your house and your car is full of, looks like a golf ball with divots in it all over the place. And
I know.
Broken window. And even tin roofs, metal roofs. I know people who have metal roofs who had damage to their roof. Like, what do you do?
I don't know. I guess it's not what you can do.
I don't know either, but...
I mean, I don't think it does any serious damage if it's just a little dense. I don't know. A lot of interesting stuff happened on this day in history.
Tell us, Ted.
1968, 60 Minutes debuted.
Well, I love that show. Love it. One of the shows I set my PVR to record every week.
And you see what they're doing because of the actor and the SAG strike in the U.S., they're tacking on an extra half hour on some weeks to 60 minutes to make it 90 minutes long to fill the time.
Okay. What else happened on this day? Ted's got a list of...
Jim Henson, the founder of the Muppets, was born in 1936, 1925. F. Scott Fitzgerald, who wrote The Great Gatsby, was born... 1948, the Honda Motor Company was founded. And in 2016, just 7 years ago, Arnold Palmer died at the age of 87. A man who changed the face of golf, really.
Honda was only created in the 40s?
That's right.
Wow.
Honda Motor Company.
Older than that.
1948.
And getting back to your Muppets reference, it's that classic trivia question, right? What are the names of the two old geezers in the balcony?
Oh, it's a Waldorf and Astoria or something like that?
It's something like that. And I swore I would never forget it again, and I have forgotten it. And I'm not cheating. I'm not looking it up. I'm not Googling it. Hands up, I forget, even though I meant to not ever forget again, and I did.
Well, there you go.
There we go. We'll clarify that next week on the show.
Okay.
It's important. That's an important thing to know.
Oh, yeah. You never know when you're asked that question by a police officer during a spot check.
Well, I'm pretty sure both of those men had probate problems that they needed help with.
Okay.
Right.
So coming up on the show this week, our friend Debbie Stanley is basking on the beaches of Greece. So she's away for the next 2 weeks. But the file that she is working on, of course, because she is the executor of an estate, is still being tended to by her staff, in both in Guelph and in Toronto. So we don't anybody think that she just went away and left her job and worked behind.
And then
she's not with us, that's all.
But what I want to do, Ted, when we get back after the break, where we would normally be talking to Debbie Stanley about that weekly segment, Solving the Probate Puzzle, yes. I do want to do a quick summary on her behalf for the new listeners who are just joining us this week and might not understand what exactly is going on, what we're talking about. So we'll do a quick summary on her behalf when we get back after this first break.
Sounds good.
Anything else?
Well, all kinds of stuff. We've got the mailbag as well.
Yes, we do.
We're going to deal with that.
And we have a guest.
And we have a special guest, the newest member of Team Avoid Probate.ca.
Yeah, we'll
introduce you to him.
We'll introduce him later on for sure, probably in the next segment. All right. Well, that said, let's take this first break of the morning, give our listeners a chance to top up their tea and coffee. And when we get back, we'll dive into some probate stuff. We will do a summary, like I said, solving the probate puzzle on behalf of Debbie. And then we'll introduce our guest, and we got lots to cover. So we'll start doing that right after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question. You can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future. And we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Laidler or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show. Our first edition, by the way, for fall of 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case you missed it, yesterday was the first day of fall.
Happy fall.
And we invite you to join us on our website, which is www.avoidprobate.ca. That's www.avoidprobate.ca. There you will find, amongst other things, a free probate calculator. It's not an actual thing you take away with you. It's like it's not a gift, but you can use it. And it'll give you an idea of how much probate might be payable on your estate or your family's estate or whoever's estate that you're caring for. So go to www.avoidprobate.ca and check out the calculator. And also, too, you can go to a little button that says listen to the show. And there you can listen to past episodes of the Avoid Probate show in case you missed one or in case you heard one that tweaked your interest and you'd like to hear it again. So again, www.avoidprobate.ca. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Ted. And of course, it's gentlemen because, well, we're going to introduce our special guest, Colin Keyes. But before we do that, I did say that I would do a quick summary of what Debbie Stanley would otherwise be saying if she wasn't suntanning on a beach somewhere much warmer than it is here. So normally at this point of the hour, we have the update about solving the probate puzzle where we take a real file, a real person who's passed away, of course, and there's probate being required by somebody. Normally it's the bank. And that's the problem that we're solving here. We're trying to prevent that from happening, but you got to call us before mom or dad passed away to prevent it. Often we get the call saying mom or dad passed away 3 weeks ago kind of thing. And that's Debbie Stanley's territory. So the handoff goes to her because she's the professional executor. And so we don't tell you to get lost just because you didn't call us before mom passed. In fact, we want to help you every way that we can because you got to go through the process now. And most people can't do it by themselves. Most people need help. You know, most people don't have a clue where to start. And I get it. How would you know? You've never done it before. Whereas Debbie Stanley does it every day, multiple times, and has done so for years and years and years. So she is an expert. And in this case, she actually is the executor. I think Ted mentioned that before the break. So, and she's the executor because the other executors just, they weren't suitable. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in that. If you don't live in the province, you don't want to be the executor. It's already challenging enough for people who do live in the province. Right. So the children in this case don't live in the province. And it was wise, you know, kudos to mom and or dad for not naming the out of province kids. And there's no shame or there's no loss. If you're a beneficiary of the estate, you get your piece of the pie, whether you're the executor or not. The beneficiary is a beneficiary. So you're not shortchanging somebody by not making them the beneficiary. You're doing them a favor, frankly, if you ask me. So we're looking at the estate of Roxy Moo. That's Debbie's late puppy dog, or I believe was Roxy, and she nicknamed her Roxy Moo. And so that's what we labeled this file. And right now, well, before Debbie left for her vacation, we were at the point where the initial application has been submitted to the Superior Court, the probate court, for processing. So a check, like I said, you pay in advance, a check to the Minister of Finance. The initial application has been submitted. You play the waiting game. While she's waiting, she's tidying up little other bits and pieces of the estate. There's a lot of work involved. There's a condo full of assets. She's been itemizing these assets in great detail. She's already had one auction. I think she's planning a second auction. You know, you got to list these things. There's a lot of work. And she's taking care of what she can do until such time as she has her certificate from the court. And like I said, once you get the certificate, that gives the executor what I call magical powers to now sell things they don't own, like the condo. But obviously, there are ongoing condo fees. And this is a burden. Who knows? I mean, this, in theory, in the probate process, we say 10 months. It could take a year and a half. I don't know, $500 a month for condo fees. I'm not sure what they are right now, but obviously it depends on the building and the location. But in any event, ongoing expenses, and you cannot sell the house or the condo until the probate process is completed. So lots of challenges there. That's what we talk about every week here on the second segment of the Avoid Probate Show with Debbie Stanley, solving the probate puzzle. This is our second file. We did the Mr. Chips file some time ago. This is week 16. For us, it's week 16. I'm still counting it as week 16, even though Debbie's not here, because it is another week that has passed, you know, until such time as it's completed. So the weeks count, the weeks add up, the time adds up. We'll see. It'll be months and months. She doesn't even have the certificate yet. So we'll see what happens. anyway, we'll leave it at that for now. Debbie is not going to be here next week either. So once again, I'll provide a quick summary for the new listeners who are just joining us. Thank you for joining us. If you are a new listener, hopefully you get the bug, you get addicted to learning something about probate and avoiding it every week here on AM 740 on the Avoid Probate Show. That said, okay, let's move on to some more exciting stuff. And it is exciting. I'm excited, of course. The newest member of the Avoid Probate team, he has been a guest on the show in the past. He had a bit of a different hat on at the time. But without further ado, welcome to Colin Gies. Good morning, Colin. How are you?
Hi, Jason. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great.
Hey, Colin.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us again.
Pleasure to be back.
Yeah. So as I said, Colin is the newest member. The team is growing, and it's growing because the company's growing, and it's growing because listeners are getting the message 1 week at a time. And through word of mouth and a few other media means that Colin's actually going to speak to in the next few minutes, because he's in charge of some of that stuff. Well, I can tell you that Colin and I have worked together for a few years, but again, not quite in this capacity. He's been an insurance expert, group insurance in particular. He's got some designations relating to such, the CLU, the CLS, is that what it is, Colin, the old one?
CHS,
yes. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. 20 years or so of industry experience, co-founder of a company called Wealth Health, a leading brokerage in individual and group insurance planning and benefits, also a lead insurance specialist for avoidprobate.ca. That certainly it was the case. It still is the case. But, Colin, you're taking on some new roles now that you're like an official member of the team. So let's talk about what some of these new roles are. Because I will admit, before we get to that, Colin, hands up here. Colin and Ted both have been really trying to help me see the light when it comes to things like social media and a few other media components and streams that I'm not very familiar with. So, you know, I'm the old dog here and I'm learning. So I've given the reins over to Colin and Ted to take care of this aspect of avoidprobate.ca. So what does that look like, Colin? Tell us.
So I think that's a great way to put it, is spirit. When you don't know something and you're not comfortable with it, there's a lot of time and stress and energy you can spend just spinning your wheels trying to figure this stuff out. And to be totally honest, I have my capacities too. But I guess recognizing that these are platforms that people are finding us, and that people can engage with us, listen to the messaging, because the messaging is really what I was drawn to joining and becoming more active at the Avoid Probate team, is because people just time and time again don't understand what probate is. I didn't even understand what probate was. I know I'm not alone in that until I started speaking and listening to you, Jason. And I'm passionate that this message has to get out there, because time and time again, people are either totally unaware of what probate is and the impact of it, and also, or are misinformed. They feel that because they have a will, they're going to avoid probate. And that's just not the case, as you.
And I love that story. And I want to just interrupt here, because Ted, didn't you say the exact same thing? Haven't you said that several times, you know, since you've been, you know, on the show since day one, when week seven, to be accurate, when we hooked up together to do the show, and you admitted that you didn't really know much about probate.
No, I didn't. I did not at all. And I still run into people, you know, who ask me, and they say, what are you doing? And I tell them I'm co-hosting this program. And they say, well, what is that all about? So you have to explain the whole process. And then when you tell them what it is, they have this look of terror that crosses their face. Like, oh, really? They just, what, 1.5% of whatever I got in a savings account is going to be taken away? Yeah.
At least.
At least. Exactly.
Just to start.
And that's where it starts, precisely.
And the more people I speak to, and the more I get to share that message, you really see the value of what you're doing and building here, Jason. And kudos to that. It's a service for sure. And we just wanted to get it to a larger audience. We want people to know about this and find other ways to engage with us and make it easier for people to do that. So we've taken on some new initiatives. One of them is to update our website a little bit, avoidprobate.ca. We've been working with our web designers, and we're in the final stages of confirming the changes that we want, and it's about to go live. So look out for that. There's going to be a subscription tab, so people will be able to subscribe to get the podcast once the radio show is complete, delivered directly to their email box at the beginning of the week. So people won't necessarily have to wake up at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Or if you know someone that you've recommended that they watch or listen to the show, rather, and they're not familiar with how to find podcasts or where to go, they can come straight to the Avoid Probate website. They can find the podcast hosted there if they want to listen through the website. That's an option. Or they can subscribe and have the podcast emailed to them every week, and they can listen from their phone or whatever, or their iPad, their computer, whatever device they prefer.
I love that. I love that it's going to be like passive, you know, more of a passive thing. But I want to just be clear for the listener's sake, that when Colin refers to the podcast, he's talking about the radio show. This show that you're listening to right now, and that we've been doing every week now for over 2 years, well over 2 years, this becomes something called a podcast, which has become shareable. I'm not going to get into the technology side of things, but that's what Colin's referring to. The radio show is shareable electronically, and he's talking about, you know, we're going to provide this subscription service where it just gets sent out to anybody who wants to hear it.
Directly to their email. And we're going to do some newsletters as well. So letters from the president of the company, Jason Laidler, will have his take on things that are changing in the probate landscape, as well as probably touch on some other financial planning considerations that people...
Should we get even more technical and talk about the Twitter aspect of things, maybe take a quick break and then come back and just mention these things? Is it worth it? I think so.
Right? I think
so too.
It's all
part of the new big picture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know Ted's a Twitter guy. Or sorry, what is it? X?
X now, yes.
Right.
So the Mr. Musk, Tusk? Musk.
Musk, yeah.
Musk. Elon, right. Tesla guy. Mm-hmm. Bought Twitter, has rebranded it. It's no longer Twitter. It's now X. And it's a platform.
It's a thing.
Sure. It's a thing. Okay. Well, we won't spend much time on it, but we're going to come back right after this quick break. We'll talk about a couple other new parts of what we're trying to do here to share the message and get the message out there. Because, hey, when people say to me, no, I don't know what probate is, and I always tell them, I want to try to make them feel better by telling them right away, you're in good company, because you are in good company if you don't know what probate is. Smart people do not understand. If you haven't been through it, how can you know? And if your neighbor hasn't been through it, or your best friend hasn't been through it, nobody close to you has been through it, you don't know. But let me tell you, when you go through it for the first time, I tell my clients all the time, people who have been through it, they will move mountains to avoid having to go through it again, or to avoid their kids or loved ones from having to go through it. And that's where we come in. So we can make that happen for you. But we're going to take a quick break and come back to finish the story. We're going to talk about the estate account as well before this hour is over. So we got some exciting news about the so-called estate account. Very important, very cool stuff. We'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
It's time to gear up for fall with cool weather fashions from the very cool Kensington Market. Hey, it's Ted Wallace in Fort Tom's Place, where you're invited to check out the latest fall fashions that have just arrived. And since it is Tom's Place, even the new arrivals are on sale. Fall colors, new patterns, fresh designs, designer slim fit suits sold elsewhere for as much as $600, start at only $179 at Tom's Place. Check out Tom's fabulous collection of S. Cohen and other designer suits. Regular, three for $1,200, slashed for radio listeners to $1,100. Pick out a couple of sports jackets. Selected sports jackets are now 50% off, plus selected dress and casual pants, 50% off. Play it cool at Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And good morning once again. This is the Avoid Probate Show, and we remind you the information provided in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is, of course, different. So if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert. And you can find them at info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. That's where you can fire off your questions or comments. Or you can call us 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And we do have, as I mentioned, licensed experts and all kinds of people on board. As we mentioned, a brand new member of the team, Colin Gies, is with us. You're also in charge of the road shows.
That's correct. Yeah, we have a few initiatives that are on the go here. One of our pride and joys is our live presentation. So that's where we take you, Ted, and Jason, myself, a couple other members of our team. We arrive on location. We set up. You invite your organization, association, your group, and
club,
we present.
Club. Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't really, we're not particular about who we're speaking to.
No, we want to share it to everybody.
That's right. And that's what this is all about, is just getting the word out so people are aware and can start proactively making some planning changes or decisions so that they deal with it instead of putting their heirs or their estate in a reactive mode because they didn't know. So the road shows are filling up quite quickly. People love them. And the best way to set that up is to email as well at info@avoidprobate.ca. Then I'll take over and start working through the logistics of what we need, understanding what you need. We pick a day and we show up. It's a lot of fun.
Yep, it is.
Time.
Colin, just I'm going to get back to the Twitter thing for real quick because I know it might sound a little bit out there. Certainly, I was not a big proponent, and like I said, you and Ted both had to beat me up quite a bit to convince me it was something we needed to do. And the reason the idea is, and tell me if I'm wrong or jump in here. You know, Ted, you and Ted both were constantly pointing out that it's not just mom or dad that we need to be reaching out to, but it's mom and dad's kids, right?
It can be. Absolutely. And it's a hard conversation to have. We see it all the time that kids don't really know what's happening in mom and dad's plan. They haven't even seen the will. Finances aren't discussed. I mean, that's not unique, especially here in this culture. I don't think that open sharing of financial planning happens between generations all the time. So,
well, I think it's a nationality thing too. It's a function of nationality, not to be racist or anything. But of course, just to be clear, when I say kids, you know, I'm not talking about 8-year-olds, right? I'm talking about 38-year-olds, 48-year-olds, 58-year-olds, those 68-year-olds,
right?
Those
and these concepts that we talk about will apply to them as well. But there might be a heightened sense of urgency when dealing with their parents or grandparents' estate, and at least getting them to be aware of this process. So, and again, it's not even so we want the kids to be aware of it. Absolutely. It's also a nice way for people to share the message, but not try and repeat what was said on the radio show and get confused, because there is so much that you can get confused about. But it's simply just, you know, you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Instagram, and the content will be going up and people can view it and read and educate themselves and find links to the podcast so that they can learn and listen on their own time. So you don't necessarily have to have the conversation about probate with your parents in great detail, but at least you can, you've seen it on your social media sites and you can send it to them, or at least send the link to the podcast so they can start listening to it. And then it's directly from the experts in the field explaining the process. So
Ted's been doing that with his own podcast for a while now, right, Ted?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the best way to advertise without having to dig into your wallet and spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. It's not cheap. Okay, Colin, I want to just change topics real quick here before we run out of time in this segment. Time flies when you're having fun. But we are very excited to talk about something I don't think we've ever talked about on this show before, and it has to do with something called the estate account. The estate account, not to be confused with the Bear Trust or anything else like that. I probably shouldn't have even said that to add confusion. But the estate account is often a big part of the probate procedure. And I'll let Colin explain. You know, we've made some progress at avoidprobate.ca working with an estate account. I don't want to steal your thunder, Colin. Let's tell the listeners what we know we can now do for them at avoidprobate.ca.
So I'm sure if anyone's ever executed an estate, I'm sure they're familiar with this. So as Jason's talked about, once the individual dies, financial institutions like the banks or credit unions, they will freeze the accounts until you've completed the probate process. In this specific scenario, there was a life insurance benefit that was payable to the estate. Now, this can happen for a few different reasons. Traditionally, like in an ideal situation, your life insurance has a named beneficiary. It's an individual. When the claim is submitted, then the benefit is payable directly to that individual. It bypasses the estate. It bypasses probate. It's tax-free. It's a great product. In some scenarios, if someone hasn't named a beneficiary, the default is that the estate is now the beneficiary. Sometimes people have named a beneficiary and the beneficiary has predeceased the insured. So then the benefit is payable to the estate as well. Now, in this particular circumstance, it was the last piece of the estate to get settled out, but the beneficiary, the sole beneficiary, she was also the executor, knew that if she put it into the estate account at the bank would hold the money. It would be frozen until probate was finished on the rest of the estate. And she didn't want to deal with that. We did our research and we found a company that would provide an estate account and allow you to withdraw the fund up to $100,000 without probate being required. So because this...
And it's worth pointing out, Colin, I think we're not going to name names, but when Colin says we found a company, it's an insurance company. It's one of the big insurance companies in Canada. So once again, the reason I want to make this point is to emphasize that the insurance companies, well, I've said this before, the insurance companies now have as many investment options or more than the banks. They are competing with the banks for what we call assets under management. And one of the ways they're doing this, in addition to avoiding probate and providing guarantees that the banks can't provide, they're also now providing estate account options, which normally were limited to the bank. And as Colin suggested, if it's at the bank, it's frozen until it's probated. And not to steal his thunder here, but that's no longer your only option. There's another game in town here, and we're thrilled because, like Colin said, we did a test run. Is that a good way to put it, Colin?
Yeah, we did. We weren't sure. It was the first time we did it. It's very exciting that we were able to do this, not just for individuals, but also for executors that are out there and looking for a solution to solve this, where they need funds to come out to pay for things. You think about that upfront check that you have to cut to the Attorney General when you file your probate application. Where does that money come from? Well, if you don't have access to it.
Debbie Stanley has been saying for weeks now, with this second file that she's been working on, she had to come up with the money. She has lent the estate the money for the initial probate application because the accounts were frozen and she couldn't access it in time. Yes. So the executor here, in this case, is also now a lender. And she had the means to do it, but maybe not every executor does.
That's right. And we have a solution. We were able to open the account, deposit the insurance benefit into the account And then have immediately have that money transferred from the estate account into the executor and beneficiary of the estate's personal checking account. Done. Account closed. No fuss, no muss. It took us a little while to figure everything out because we wanted to make sure that we were doing it right the first time. So we like to
We don't like to get sued very often. So
no.
So we did it right. We're out of time. We've got to go up to our next break, Colin. But okay. I mean, it's worth repeating. What he just said was worth repeating. We opened the account, not at the bank. The money was deposited that was payable to the estate. The money was deposited into the estate account. And right away, it was turned around and paid out of that account without probate. It was a beautiful thing. And we want to do this for you as well. We like doing beautiful things here at avoidprobate.ca. We'll talk about some more beautiful things right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walshin, Jason Laidler, and our special guest who will rejoin us in a moment. But I will remind you, please keep your calls and your emails coming in with your questions, because this is how we help you and you can help your fellow listeners as well. And we try to reply to each and every one of them. You can contact us several different ways. You can email us at info@avoidprobate.ca. Or you can call, that's info@avoidprobate.ca. Avoid probate is one word, by the way. Or you can call 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And with those emails, Colin is back. Jason is here, and yep. I'm here. We're all here. Here we go. Number one, I am a non-resident Canadian with assets in Canada. Parenthetically, he or she writes, properties, bank accounts, and stocks. All accounts are joint accounts with my wife. I have two kids, one adult, one child in Canada. I would like to discuss my options. Do you provide such services?
Yeah. Okay, great. Email, and that's one of the reasons I chose it. Ted and Colin, it's always interesting to me. Like, we get some emails are literally pages and multiple paragraphs long, and some are, this is like 1, 2, 3, 4 lines here. But in this four-line email, there's a lot to discuss, and that's why I selected it as one of the options for this week's email bag. And so I'll just go in order here, starting with, I'm a non-resident Canadian. Okay, so right away, that's a great question. You know, do non-residents have probate issues? Absolutely, because if you remember why the bank is asking for probate in the first place, and I'm just going to assume it's the bank because it normally is, you know, they're doing it to protect themselves. So they don't care. Frankly, if you're a resident or non-resident, they don't want to give the money to the wrong person because they will be sued regardless of whether you're a resident or a non-resident, right? So they're going to insist that you take your paperwork to the province. We talk about this every week, right? Submit your application with your check payable to the Minister of Finance up front at the time of the application. Wait the 10 months or so if you're in the GTA. Get your certificate. Then there's more work to do once you've got your certificate. That's when the clock starts ticking. You now have a certain amount of time to complete the estate information return. Once you receive your certificate, you're not done.
when you get your certificate. But having that certificate does let you walk into the bank now and start, you know, the settlement process, if you will. So I wanted to touch on that. So great point about the non-resident issue. I hope that makes sense and that's clear. Different assets are listed. That's standard stuff. Lots of people have multiple assets in their portfolio, including properties. And yes, of course, as our regular listeners will know, we can avoid the probate on the properties. We're assuming properties equals real estate. There's technical terms like your checking account is your property, right? But most people obviously associate property with real estate holdings. And of course, that's where the Bare Trust comes in, B-A-R-E. It's amazing how many calls and emails we're getting asking for more information about this Bare Trust. And people are just saying, never heard of it. What's going on? Tell me more. It's great. We want to tell you more. We want to be the people, you know, we want you to hear it here first kind of thing.
Jason, so, I have a question about
this. Yeah, go ahead, Colin.
Actually, when you submit your probate application, you are reporting all of the assets that are owned by the estate, correct?
Almost correct. You are generalizing and making assumptions as to the value of the assets of the estate, but it's early days when that initial application goes in, mm-hmm. and you've made an estimate, your best mm-hmm. guess, really. And that's why once the certificate is issued, you've got a deadline. It's 180 days to be precise, to complete that estate information return, which is more precise. And that actually lists all the assets of the estate with more accurate valuations, because you've got time now. If you need professional valuations on farm property, businesses, whatever, you need to evaluate collections, coin collections, whatever it is, you got to get time to get all this stuff evaluated. And that's where those final accurate numbers are reported, is on that estate information return. So it's very likely the numbers don't match. The initial check to the Minister of Finance is not probably going to be the same number that you see on the estate information return. So you make an adjustment.
Now, without sounding like I'm trying to rip anybody off, but if you have a coin collection, what are the odds that people are going to list that as assets versus just, you know, leaving a note with your son to say, by the way, the coin collection is in the closet in my bedroom. Make sure you take it home.
Great question, Ted. Now, it boils down to the integrity of the, well, not just the integrity, but the level of paranoia as well that the executor has, because the executor is the one doing this work, and it's the executor who's on the hook, and it's the executor who's going to go to jail if, you know, they find out that there's been fraud. So,
well, if the executor knows,
that's true. I mean, if the executor doesn't know, then of course it's going to happen. Sure. That's a good point. But the other point I was going to make is you also have to be worried, or at least aware, if there are siblings, or not just siblings, but there could be people in the picture with an axe to grind. And you don't want somebody narking. You know, you don't want someone throwing the estate under the bus or I never did like that. I should have been the executor, not my idiot brother. So I know he didn't report the coin collection, and now he's in big trouble because I'm going to tell, you know, the regulators, that kind of thing. You got to be careful about all that stuff. It just could rear its ugly head. And, you know, a professional executor, of course, is going to be do the straight and narrow thing. But you're right. If you don't know, you can't report it. Simple as that.
Jason, just to get back quickly too, the assets that are reported. Now, this gentleman isn't a resident of Canada. So I'm assuming, and again, this is just an assumption, but let's just say for the argument's sake, that he has assets now in the country of residence. Is it only the assets that are owned in Canada and even further owned in Ontario? Because we know probate is jurisdictional.
That is a fantastic question. We've touched on this in other shows. And I'm here to tell you, oh boy, at the risk of getting sued, Ted, talking about getting sued, the guideline that the province has published, and it's a public document, the guideline that goes along with the estate information return reads, and I don't have it in front of me, but I have read it word for word when we talked about this in the past. It reads that all worldwide assets need to be reported for probate. But the lawyers and the practitioners who do this work, they will tell you that's a mistake. And it's an error that the province has made in their guideline. And they will tell you,
to your point, Colin, it is jurisdictional. And only the assets in Ontario are subject to Ontario provincial probate. It's as simple as that, even though the guideline says something different. So that's maybe going to ruffle some feathers if there are, you know, members of the Attorney General's office listening in right now. Take a look. And Section D, I believe. Again, I don't have it in front of me, but we have read the words right out of the guideline because it was confusing. What, of course, most people are going to pull up this guideline published by the province and follow the instructions.
But, yeah, because there is a chance that the people, you know, the wealthier people would own, like, say, a ski chalet in Mont-Tremblant or in Whistler. Well, and
how many snowbirds are in Ontario?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, exactly.
Okay, I want to move on with this email. Like I said, there's lots to cover in here. We touched about the non-resident.
So wait, but let me just go right back for 1 second, just to make this clear. Yeah. So, although does it say then you do have to? Or is it sort of subject to interpretation?
You're talking about assets outside of the province?
Mm-hmm.
The guideline says you must report them for probate. The practitioners and the lawyers who do this work will tell you that is not true. It is an error. It is jurisdictional.
It'd be great to have someone on that could bring clarification.
Well, once again, we extend an invitation to any of our listeners who happen to work for the Attorney General's office or the Office of the Public Guardian and Trustee, or who worked in the probate courts. We've cast that net before. We haven't had any takers yet, and I'm not surprised, frankly. But that's you heard it here first. Two kids. Oh yeah. So it says it says all. This is important. All accounts are joint accounts with my wife. So we've said this before, on the first death of a normal married couple, usually there's not a probate problem to worry about. The province doesn't punish the survivor, the surviving spouse in that sense. The comment I wanted to make here, yeah, exactly. The comment that I think is worth sharing, we've had phone calls from widows who are saying to me in a stern tone, hey, I thought everything was joint with me and my husband. Turns out there was a bank account I didn't know about.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And the bank wants to probate it. Now, like, what, you know, what's going on? So I'll just leave that at that, okay? I get it. Sometimes it is all joint. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not as it seems, right? Is that too far-fetched?
No.
Nope.
Lastly, with the same email, and then we'll move on to the next one. I'd like to discuss my options. Do you provide such services? Perfect opportunity for us to remind the listeners. Yes, of course. It's a no-charge consultation. We provide these services every day. This is what we're here for. The name of the company is avoidprobate.ca. So call us for that no-charge consultation. It can be over the phone or it can be in person. We prefer it to be in person. Much better value for everybody. Much more efficient to do it that way. Call us. We'll book a meeting for you. Okay, at that toll-free number that Ted has given out to you several times.
And will again.
Okay.
I think it's important to remind listeners as well is that even if they feel that their questions or concerns don't necessarily pertain to avoiding probate specifically, the professional network that we've built around this company allows us the opportunity to refer people to vetted professionals that may have a better understanding of what they're talking. So don't stop yourself from making the call or sending them an email because you don't think it's specific to probate. Obviously, that's our niche and we specialize in it. But we are connected with other resources that we can put you in touch with if it falls outside of our area of expertise. And at least then you know you have a vetted professional referral where there's some more accountability and you're not just Googling for the sake of Googling.
Mm-hmm. See, like I said, three-line email, it took 10 minutes to suss it out, but that's good. That's a good thing.
Okay, question number two. Hello, I am an executor for a friend's estate. Currently, I have a large amount of money in a bank estate account that collects no interest. Can I move the money to a cashable GIC under the estate name? I don't expect the estate to be settled before the end of this year. Thank you.
Love it. And of course, this was chosen because I knew Colin was joining us on the show today, and I knew we were going to be talking about estate account stuff. And so I'm going to let Colin loose on this in a second, but I want to make a couple quick comments first, if I can, Colin. Yeah. Can I move the money to a cashable GIC? Yeah. But the regular listeners are going to know that that makes makes me cringe. GICs and I do not get along very well. And there are options. There are better options. So let's just dismiss that one right away. The other comment I wanted to make, Colin, was the last line. I don't expect the estate to be settled before the end of this year. Well, what are we? Late September? And so October, November, December, we don't know how long this estate's already been running for, but the point is that's at least 3 more months for this estate to be settled, probably longer than that. And again, for all we know, it's already been, you know, opened for 6 months. And I'm just getting to the point where, you know, if you can avoid this probate nonsense, we say 10 months, you know, 10 months is probably conservative. Then this could well be 10 months. She's talking about another 3 months already. So it takes time to settle this stuff and go through this nonsense. If you haven't called us already in advance, before mom or dad pass away, so that we can do our best to avoid at least some of the probate. But Colin, I mean, we talked about the estate account earlier. Do you want to just touch on some of the highlights, like what we can do for these people?
Right. Well, I think that one of the problems that people are encountering while they're dealing with the execution of their estate is that they have funds that are in banks or other financial institutions that are frozen. And that's because probate isn't complete. So some of these things, it might be quite simple. Like there's one survivor in the family and there's some money that's been payable to the estate that the deceased had put in place. Now that it's payable to the estate, it's got to go into what traditionally people use their bank account. So they set up an estate account with their bank. But once it goes into that account, the banks keep the hold until that lengthy probate process is over. And it could be the final piece to wrap up the entire estate. We found a company that we're able to utilize their products and services where they do not require probate on amounts up to $100,000. So this may not be the entire capital or funds in the estate, but it is a nice piece.
Yeah, Colin, that's great. Couldn't agree more, like we discussed earlier. But I guess I just want to make sure the point is here for this writer / listener that give us a call, because as Colin was explaining, we can now handle these estate accounts and we'll give you options that you don't otherwise have. That's basically what we're getting at here. So with that, okay, let's wrap up this episode, this week of the Avoid Probate Show. It's been a busy hour as usual. Ted, before we go, though, tell us something about your podcast.
Johnny Harris. Johnny Harris, you may know from one of two television programs. He has his own show called Still Standing, where he visits these small towns across Canada. And it's usually towns that have faced some sort of adversity and have fought through it. And he chats with the local people. And he also mixes that in with stand-up comedy, because he is a stand-up comedian. And he does bits during the show, along with his interviews with the locals. It's quite fascinating. And I think they're in their seventh year now. And he is also seen weekly on... this is year 16, I think, now coming up for Murdoch Mysteries.
Holy.
Yeah.
Or
he's Officer Crabtree. So he's a really nice guy, and he's got some great stories about both his shows that he appears on. So that's cool. Available everywhere you find podcasts. You can go to my website, www.tedwoloshin.ca.
Great. Okay. Look forward to that, Ted. Thanks very much. And of course, I got to thank our special guest for joining us, the newest member of the Avoid Probate team at avoidprobate.ca, Colin Gies. We'll probably be hearing from him somewhat regularly, I hope, Colin?
He'll
be
back. Yeah, absolutely.
In the studio with his insights and tidbits like he shared with us earlier.
Thanks to Kelly for taking care of us from behind the glass, producer extraordinaire, solving all our technical problems once again, which the listener isn't aware of, but we are. Anyway, it's kind of funny, but she's awesome at taking care of those things for us. So that's good for us. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Ted Walgen for his decades of radio excellence. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Hopefully you'll be back next Sunday. We'll do it all over again here on AM 740. Bye for now. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Have a good week.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.